A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter said to the people, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of your life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are all witnesses. Now I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouths of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." The word of the Lord.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
When I call, answer me, O my just God. You who relieve me when I am in distress, have pity on me and hear my prayer.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
Know that the Lord does wonders for his faithful one. The Lord will hear me when I call upon him.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
O Lord, let the light of your countenance shine upon us. You put gladness into my heart.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
As soon as I lie down, I fall peacefully asleep. For you alone, O Lord, bring security to all my dwelling.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the Righteous One. He is expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. The way we may be secure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, "I know him," but do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. The word of the Lord.
The word of God. Spirit can judge our thoughts, bring us closer to the Father.
Alleluia! 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 Alleluia!
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. There was a rather unusual story in the news this week. Maybe you saw it or read about it. There was a truck in Oregon carrying 100,000 salmon driving along the road, crashed, rolled off the road down an embankment. 25,000 of the fish died. The other 75,000 fish were saved when they continued sliding down the embankment and ended up in the river below. You can't make this stuff up, folks. How many times has somebody told you a story that seemed just too incredible to believe and followed it up with, "You can't make this stuff up, folks," right? I mean, we're always fascinated by, you know, incredible stories that seem to be outlandish, and then we're surprised to find out that they're actually true. Well, this is the sort of situation in those first days after Christ's resurrection that the apostles and the disciples found themselves in. The same sort of feeling that they had, that they couldn't quite believe what was going on because it seemed to be so incredible. And as people of faith, we today are called to believe in the message of the apostles that they handed down to us from the beginning, the very people picked personally by Jesus Christ to be his witnesses. And so as our gospel starts today, and I understand if you seem a little discombobulated the way it starts, it seems to be like in the middle of the story. You know, we've been reading from John the last couple of weeks, and all of a sudden we're reading from Luke, and it starts off, "Well, the two disciples said this." Well, what? Where were these two disciples? These are the two guys from the story you might remember, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. So they're here now in the room with the apostles telling them what happened. And they tell them, you know, "Here we were walking along. This guy comes up. We didn't recognize him. It was really Jesus, but we didn't know that at first. And he starts talking to us about the scriptures and telling us about how all the scriptures predicted the Messiah. So we invited him to dinner. He sits down with us. And all of a sudden, in the breaking of the bread, we realize it's Jesus. An amazing story. And they're all pondering this. They're astounded at it. And I point out to you, think about how liturgical that is, by the way. Okay? First, the scriptures. And then the Eucharist, just like we have here in Mass, the same order. Jesus recognized in the breaking of the bread. So the apostles are mulling all of this over, saying, this just seems too incredible. The two disciples are saying, we're not making it up. And all of a sudden, who's there? Jesus himself. And they are terrified. They are scared out of their wits. They think it's a ghost. They don't know what's going on. But Jesus says, calm down, calm down, calm down. Peace be with you. It's really me. And he invites them to touch him, so that they can see that he's real. So they do. They touch him. They see him. They hear him. They even watch him eat a little piece of fish. And they are deliriously happy beyond belief that he is actually there with them. But he reminds them, just as the disciples had related to him and he had told them on the road to Emmaus, all of the scriptures pointed to him. Everything in the scriptures foreshadowed the events of his passion. Now, the early first century church had sort of a similar problem. So many people had many, many objections to the gospel story. And so the writers of the New Testament, the ones who actually finally wrote down the gospel after so many years, and the various letters that were written that we still read today, they took great pains to counter the arguments. You know, some people would say, bunch of women wandering around in a cemetery. They went to the wrong tomb. No. Our gospel writers say, Joseph of Arimathea, a very, very well-known, prominent man, provided the tomb. He knew where it was. Mary Magdalene went there too. So did, as the gospel calls her, the other Mary, several other women. So no, they went to the right tomb. People say, somebody stole a body. Come on, somebody stole a body. No, there were guards there. There were guards there. Yeah, but the guards said they fell asleep. No, the guards were paid to say that. Haven't you noticed that none of them was ever punished for that? Well, isn't it convenient that only a handful of the people really closest to Jesus saw him after this event? No, St. Paul says 500 people saw him. 500 people can testify to the truth of this. And the law only requires two witnesses to agree. 500 people. And so the church grew. Because of the bold preaching, just like Peter was shown in our first reading today from the events of the Pentecost Sunday. But the thing that most impressed people and convinced them of the truth of the resurrection was the fact that so many Christians would rather die than give up their faith. They would rather be executed by the state than to contradict the faith they had in the resurrection story, in the gospel message. Can we today say the same thing about ourselves? Why does it seem that we're so much more likely to believe in space aliens or the latest conspiracy theory than in the fact of Jesus' resurrection? Why is it so hard for us to declare unwavering faith in Christ? You know, Edith Stein, did y'all know who she is? 20th century martyr, died in the gas chambers at Birkenau. We know her as Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. That was her name as a nun. Edith Stein was her name before she took on the habit. She says, faith is an act of the intellect rather than of emotion. Act of the intellect rather than emotion. Can we bring ourselves to make that same act of the intellect? Can we open our minds to listen to the scriptures, to ponder the gospels, and then to fall on our knees like doubting Thomas and say, my Lord and my God? Can we, like the two on the road to Emmaus, see the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread, the Eucharist? Or are we simply too amazed by the seemingly fantastical story? No. The good news of Jesus Christ is not simply made up. He did rise from the dead. He did ascend into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, dispensing mercy for all of us sinners. You can't make this stuff up, folks. God love you.